John chapter 14. If you're able to stand, if you could please stand just out of reading the Word of God. In John chapter 14, look here at verse 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for another opportunity that you have allowed me to be able to preach your word, and I pray that you would help me to be able to have clarity as I speak. Lord, I pray that you would help me with the message that comes forward that would be an encouragement to us as believers. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that today would be the day they get it settled. Lord, that they would turn to you for salvation. And Lord, thank you for that gift of salvation that you gave us freely. Lord, I pray that you would help our hearts and minds to be open to the truth of your word and help us to be able to study it out. And Lord, I also pray for those young people. I thank you for them, their willingness to get up and sing. And Lord, it's a blessing of them practicing and to be able to sing songs to give glory to you. I pray that you'd help them in their class, allow them to learn the truth from your word and be able to apply it to their hearts. And Lord, I also pray for those that aren't here this morning, that are either sick or working. Oh Lord, for whatever reason, the devil convinced them to stay home. And Lord, I pray that you would work on their hearts and draw them back. And Lord, help them to see the importance of being in your house. Well, thank you for what you're going to do this morning. We ask all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. So back to the base. We were talking this morning about heaven. Heaven. See, the reality is, I want you to see, I have 3 points. You know what that means? Doesn't mean too much to me, amen. But I do have 3 points. We'll see how the Lord leads through that. I want you to see 3 things about heaven from God's Word this morning from this portion of Scripture. Look down here at verse 5 and 6. Look down here at verse 5 and 6. He gave us the answer. The first point is, how do you go there? Amen. How do you go to heaven? Thomas asked a question in verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The reality is, the Bible is very clear. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. My friends, can I tell you, there's many people in this world today, billions of people. I don't know the actual statistic, and I remember one time looking, it was over 7 billion. I don't know if we're up to 8 billion yet or not. But the reality is, if when someone comes to the age of accountability, the truth of the matter is, for them to go to heaven, they must know Christ as their Savior. You may say, does that mean that people in far-off lands that are of age, that have never received Christ, will not go to heaven? Yes, that's what the Bible is teaching us. He is the only way. I have run into people that would say that ultimately they're trusting in Muhammad. The reality is, Muhammad will not lead them to heaven. There are people that are trusting in Buddha. Buddha will not lead them to heaven. The reality is, salvation is only through Christ. Christ alone. See, he told him, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 43, verse 11, it says, "I, even I am the Lord, beside me there is no Savior." There's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Later in Isaiah 45, in verse 21, it says, "Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who has declared this from ancient time, who has told it from that time, have not I the Lord?" And he says this, "And there is no God besides me, a just God." Thank God he is just and holy, amen, righteous. "A Savior, there is none beside me. My friends, can I tell you, heaven, if you're going to heaven today, it's because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Can I tell you, you'll run into people who are trusting in other things, and the reality is, if they have never came to Christ, they're not going to go. Amen? See, the Bible is where we get our answers. When I was a little kid, I had people that told me all kinds of crazy things of how to go to heaven. And after a period of time, I thought I was going to heaven. Until it was later in my 20s, where I heard a message from an evangelist. He's in eternity, now he's up in heaven, from Hal Webb. He preached a message about good and bad church members. Now I want you to think about this. I was a member of a church. I was in Bible college. I was a deacon. I was teaching a junior church class. I was out doing all kinds of things. But the reality is I had never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I remember listening to that message that was on tape from Hal Webb talking about good and bad church members. And I remember the Holy Spirit convicted me and showing me that I was a lost sinner on my way to hell. And what Jesus Christ did for me. And I remember that day, it was back in January 2002, 14 years ago, plus, amen, that I turned and put my trust in Jesus Christ, what He did for me, believing that He died on the cross for my sins, that He was buried and rose again, that He took my sin debt, amen. And my friends, can I tell you, He saved me, changed me, amen. And the reality is, I'm not what I should be, but I'm not what I was, amen. Because when someone gets saved, they become a new creature. But the reality is there's only one way to heaven through Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other. I told the story this morning when I was in at Sunday school. When I worked at Citibank, we had people that came over from India, and we were teaching them how to do different parts of the job. And I remember as they came across, I can't remember, 20, 30 some people from India, a lot of people there are Hindus. And what a Hindu believes is they believe anything can become a god. And I remember talking to that man, he was out of all the people, they put him right beside me to work. And I remember as we're sitting there, and we were talking about something, and I don't remember how we got on the subject. Truth of the matter is, I always try to tell people about the Lord. But I remember he started to tell me, he said, our people, or my people, we believe that anything can become a god. We believe that ultimately this mouse, and that was a computer mouse, he said, we believe this computer mouse can become a god. He said, we believe this computer screen can become a god. He went through and he says, my people, we believe over millions of things can become a god. And he looked at me and said, but I don't believe that. He said, I believe there has to be only one God. And I remember talking to him, and I said, well, sir, I said, it's not a coincidence that you came the whole way over from I forget what the Providence or the place was in that he came from. I said, fly the whole way over here and sat down beside someone that's now in Bible college studying to be a pastor, and one day God's going to send me out to be a pastor because I know the God of heaven. He said, will you come to my place? And Citibank took him and put him up in a place like an apartment building. They were there for a month or two. He said, will you come and tell me about your God? And I remember going to his place and sitting down and witness to him and sharing with him who the God of heaven is. Showing him from the Scripture and showing him and telling him that it's only through Christ that someone could be saved. My friends, can I tell you, there's people that are trusting in all kinds of things to get them in heaven. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I have had people say, you're narrow-minded. If you want to call me narrow-minded because I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, you go ahead and call me narrow-minded. Amen. I am a Bible-believing Christian. And this Bible's clear. It's only through Christ. Amen. He is the only way. Look at what the Bible says over here in the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5. Excuse me. In 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5. First John is in the New Testament. It's close to the end of the Bible. So if you start working your way back to the left, you'll run into 1 John. But look here in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. The Bible says here in verse 10, it says, "He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself," speaks of the Holy Spirit. It comes and dwells and lives in us. "He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. For this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life." Amen. God's very clear. You have Christ, you have life. It says, "And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Amen. I'm sure there'll be people that'll say that you're very narrow-minded. Well, then God is too, based on your definition. Amen. It says in verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Have you believed? Have you received him as your personal Savior? "That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Amen. So we can see here in the scripture what it told us in John chapter 14. Thomas asked that question, and Jesus responded and says, "I am the way. I'm the truth." Amen. "I am the life." And the reality is, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, then you too can say that when you die that you're going to heaven. Amen. What a wonderful blessing it is to know Christ as your Savior, knowing that in this world that's continuously getting wicked and wickeder. Amen. And you see all the wicked things that are happening, that this is not your home. Amen. That one day we're going to be with our Savior. I look back here to the book of John. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14. In the book of John, chapter 14, say, our Lord told us the way. In John, chapter 14, now he gives us a little glimpse, and we're going to go through other scriptures to talk about heaven this morning. But look here in John, chapter 14, as you look back in verse 2 through 4, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. It says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." I want you to see the second point is this. What is heaven like? What is heaven like? Well, we could see here in verse 2, what he tells us? It's a place prepared by God. Now, I am not a handyman. I love to be able to. Once in a while, I have met, took some pieces of wood. And I have, I remember I built, well, I guess when I was a teenager and little, I'm sure I built other things with wood. But I built a plant stand for my wife. And I always like to be able to spend time in wood, but for me personally, I just don't have the time to set aside to do that. But anyway, so there's nothing wrong with that. But anyway, I built this plant stand for my wife, and it's probably about this big. And I remember taking that wood, and I had to go to Lowe's. It seemed like the only place that sometimes you could buy stuff. And I was taking that wood, and I was cutting it, and I had the different saws. You could tell I'm not a handyman, amen. But I had those saws out there, and I was cutting it. And I remember my father-in-law, they lived with us, and I'm thankful that God allowed their in-laws to be with us. They're good people, amen. I love them. They're good people. But anyway, he would show me when we were cutting wood, "You need to make sure you do this." And because it's a plant stand, there's four legs, it's important that you make sure all four legs are the same length. Amen? Now, you think that would be common, but it was wise for him to tell me that, because if not, I would have a plant stand that wouldn't stand too well. Amen? And I remember him showing me the market and saying, "Use this one as a template." And then ultimately, we took those four and took it through, and he showed me how to build things. Amen? And I enjoyed that. And I built that thing, amen. And the reality is, sometimes I look at it and maybe like that, amen. But the reality is, I made it for my wife. Now, I can look at that and I can see there's some faults in it, but she looks at it and she sees the time and effort I put in and she likes it. Other than right now, I'm using it to put my coffee on top of it. So, amen. I guess I need some help. I take it back and give it to her, amen. But anyway, what I prepared and made is definitely not perfect. There's flaws in it. I can look at that. My wife, she looks at it and says, I like that plant stand. Amen. I had a nice piece of tile that was up on top of it, and I stained it a little bit. But I look at it and I see there's some mistakes in it. I see a little chips that I made in it. I saw there were some places where I put the screws in, and I didn't cover the screws completely, and then ultimately sanded down and then stained it. I see the mistakes I've made. I want you to understand, when God Almighty is making heaven, it is perfect. There is not going to be any flaws in heaven. My friends, can I tell you, heaven is going to be a wonderful place. He tells us here it's a place that God Almighty is preparing. If it was a place I was preparing, we'd all be in trouble. Amen. The reality is, God Almighty says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I want you to think of heaven, a picture of heaven. Look at what the Bible says over here in the book of Revelation. Now, no one knows 100% exactly what heaven looks like today. No one does. Amen. There are some people out there who will say something. There was one, I can't remember when it was, but there was one boy that said that he went to heaven. I think there was two stories of it. One boy that said that he went to heaven, and then afterwards, if you literally read the things that the boy said he saw, there's, I think, two stories. But the one that he said, he wasn't in heaven. Because the reality is, the things that he said that he saw wouldn't have been in heaven. Amen. But the reality is, I don't believe anyone understands and comprehends everything, have seen everything of heaven. Matter of fact, that one boy came out later on and admit, when he was a teenager, that he lied, that he didn't go to heaven. Amen. But we have a picture here where the Bible tells us what heaven will be. Look here in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. So if you're saved, one day this is where you'll be. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, we'll start reading here at verse 1. And it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Everything that you see in this world will be gone. I love this time. I love the grass. I don't like what it does to my allergies. I love looking at trees. Right now it's just a blessing. Amen. We see the trees starting to bud. We have an apple tree. And I look at that and I'm thinking, wow, I could see all those apple pies. Amen. You may say, does apple pies grow on trees? This one it does. Amen. Because I know those apples are going to turn into apple pies. But I love seeing them bud. Amen. I love seeing flowers. We have flowers here. They smell wonderful. Roses are just the smell of roses. I like the smell. But I love when you start seeing flowers come up and starting to bloom. And I think how wonderful and how beauty that is. But everything's going to be gone. All these trees, everything is going to be burned up one day. God Almighty said He's going to do that. Amen. Everything's going to be destroyed. And He said He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 2 says, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adored for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So just through these four verses, there's truths that we can learn. First truth we can learn is this, that God Almighty will be there. My friends, can I tell you, when you think about that, that is a wonderful thing where ultimately we'll be in the presence of God and be with Him for all eternity. We'll be there. Now, it's a blessing when you think about living under grace. The Bible says that when you get saved, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Amen. God that's in us. But the reality is we do not see God. Amen. There are people say, I see God. The reality is we have not seen God. Amen. But think about it. One day we're going to see our Lord face to face. One day when we pray in our hearts and we pray to our Heavenly Father and we thank Him for all that He's done, think about it, we're going to see our God. Amen? We're going to see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Can you imagine how wonderful that's going to be? The one who died for you and me, we're going to see. The one that we've heard messages about, the one that we go through and read about, we're going to actually see. See, the Bible says that He will be there. The Bible tells us in verse 4, God said He'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. How would you think about this place that's called Earth? My friends, can I tell you, you know and I know about tears. You don't have to live long on this earth before you have tears to come. We have tears, a baby, and it talks about crying, where ultimately you have someone that's a loved one that passes on. It doesn't take long on this earth that we live in to ultimately have tears that come down because of disappointments. It doesn't take long to live on this earth to ultimately have tears or crying because of something that happened, where you have someone that may be gone against you, or persecution. See, the Bible says that He's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. It's going to be a place without any tears. See, the Bible says that there should be no more death. Of where we live, every single time we leave from church and we go down to our house where we live, off on the right is a cemetery. And every time we drive by, I look at that. I can't say every time, but there's times I have drawn by. I try not to keep my eyes on the road, amen. But I look over and I see that cemetery. And a lot of times I see through the day, and if it's not raining, I'll look over and you'll see someone that's probably a family member, a loved one. They're sitting down at that tombstone that's there, and they'll take that tombstone. You could see that they're weeding it or trying to plant something and plant flowers. I have drawn by that cemetery and other cemeteries and seen people who ultimately are there just sitting down because they lost a loved one and how much that loved one cared for them. And I sit there and think, and I'm sure, again, it probably won't be just you, amen. I'm sure that you have seen it. But I guarantee you that you probably have loved ones that are in a cemetery somewhere, that their bodies are there. And maybe you go and visit that cemetery that's there and you see the headstone and maybe you clean it up. And the reality is, it's death. It doesn't take too long to realize that this world that we live in, that ultimately there's some things that are a guarantee. One is definitely taxes in the United States, amen. But the other is, you think about death, if the Lord tarries. We're all going to face death. The truth of the matter is, if I continue, if God will allow me to live longer, there's going to be ones that are my loved ones. I was telling you about my mom. My mom has a disease that's incurable. She's dying. And it won't be a surprise to me that in a few years, if she has that, that ultimately I won't see my mom on this earth again. See, the truth of the matter is there's death in this world, but not in heaven. There's not a single tombstone in heaven. There's not going to be a time where you get a phone call that's in the morning and say, can you please come down to the hospital and come down here because my loved one is dying. I'm never going to get a phone call again that says, so-and-so has been in a horrible accident. Could you come? I'm not going to get a phone call or get an email. I guess that's the day and age we're in. Email and texting. I guess I don't text because I try to text. This finger here is too big to get on those phones. Amen. I need something like this big for me to hit all the numbers. Amen. But I'm never going to get a text like we did this morning, bright and early. It says, please pray for my brother-in-law. Because he's dying. You will never hear that in heaven. The Bible says there is no more death. Amen. You know what that means? You're never going to grow old. Amen. My friends, when you think about heaven, there's going to be a place where there's no tears. It's a place where there's no death. There's a place where there's no crying. There are some times where ultimately you could pour out your heart because of something that has happened. I remember when I was a teenager, I was in ninth grade, I had a friend named John. And ultimately, I remember my dad coming in, and I still remember it as clear as today. So I would have been 15 years old. Actually, before my dad came in, I was at basketball practice December 26th. I was at basketball practice when I was in ninth grade. And I remember as I was sitting there, I remember a guidance counselor coming in as I was sitting there and saw our coach as we were practicing. And I remember ultimately our coach had us all sit over to the corner. And I remember as we're all sitting over there thinking, uh-oh, what did we do? We were looking around saying, did you do something you shouldn't have done last night? And I remember ultimately that coach who came to us and ultimately Mr. Gallagher, that was his name. Mr. Gallagher, he was a nice man. He cared for us. He tried to help us to learn. And I remember seeing him walking over this man that had tears running down his face. I still remember that. And I remember him telling me, my friend John died. My friends, can I tell you, when I went home that after practice, because practice was canceled, I was in my bedroom. I'm pouring out tears because I just sat down with John on the 23rd, and we had was a school lunch together. Probably wasn't something good, amen. We usually like the school lunch pizza, amen. You lift up the pizza, there was so much grease that came off. That's what we liked as kids, amen. But I remember John was sitting right beside me. And all those tears that came down my eyes. My friends, can I tell you, we won't have that in heaven. The Bible talks about no more sorrows. You think about sadness. You don't have to live in this world long to realize there's sadness, disappointments. You don't have to live in this world long to realize this world is not fair. It's not, amen? There's sometimes bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. Amen? The reality is, this world's not fair. There's times of sorrow. The reality is, there's no sorrow in heaven. The Bible talks about no more pain. Now, when I was a teenager in early 20s, I didn't think, I have pain. What is pain? I was out weed whacking yesterday. I woke up this morning. And my back is reminding me I had muscles that I forgot about years ago. Amen. And I can tell you, it's not that painful. Amen. But the reality is, there's sometimes I wake up, I have pain. As I get older, sometimes I think I'm better than the weatherman. You'll understand. Because sometimes I'll look at my wife and say, Debbie, I think it's going to rain tomorrow. And she'll say, why do you think so? I said, because my shins are telling me it is going to rain. Because you could tell the temperature is changing. And the reality is this. There's pain that we have. You think about it. As we get older, we know there's pain. The Bible says there'll be no more pain there. My friends, can I tell you, our minds, we can't comprehend what heaven will be. Amen. We know it'll be with our Lord. We know it'll be a place where it ultimately says in verse 2, at the end it says holy. We live in a world that's filled with sin. We live in a world, I can't remember how much the number is, but millions and millions and millions and millions of babies are murdered in our society. And they call it justified through abortion. And I tell you, we live in a horrible, wicked place. We live in a place where ultimately it seems like sin is open and it's all over. We live in a place where it seems like at one time where things even in our society, where we look and say, this is wrong, now it just seems like it's out in the open. My friends, can I tell you, we live in an ungodly place. Now, please don't get me wrong. I love America. I love America. There's no greater place that I would want to live in the world than America. Amen. But what I'm saying is, we know this is not a holy place. Can I tell you, there'll be no sin in heaven. I want you to think about not only that. Think about, you look back here at the book of 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, not only sin of the wickedness because it would be a holy place, but you and I, there's some words that you'll never say again in heaven. They're not bad words that you shouldn't say bad words. Amen. You shouldn't cuss. Look here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, behold, what matter of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He's not saying we're going to be God, amen? We're not, amen? There's a false doctrine out there. I think the Mormons, they believe that, that everyone will become a God. That's not what it's referring to. We're going to be like him. That means we're never sin again. Here's some words that you'll never say again in heaven. But I guarantee you, on this earth, you're living for God. You say it probably every single day. Lord, forgive me. You may say it every single day. I'm sorry. You'll never say that in heaven. Because the reality is, we're going to have a new body. Amen? And the truth of the matter is, we'll never sin in heaven. My friends, can I tell you, you think about it in your life, you're living for God, trying to do the best that you can, and what happens? We have our old sin nature that we battle. Our old sin nature is constantly there, and what's our sin nature? It says, do this! The Holy Spirit says, no, don't do it. You're not going to have that battle anymore. See, you think about heaven, how wonderful it's going to be. The Bible says, you look back here at the book of Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. It's going to be a place of beauty. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, look here at verse 10. The Bible says, And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It goes through, it talks about the gates, the pearl, it talks about the streets down in verse 21. It says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. My friends, can I tell you, you have a piece of gold around here, a block of gold. I don't know how much the gold rate is going for, but it would probably cost a lot of money. And the reality is, people here live their lives for money. We shouldn't, amen. We shouldn't labor to be rich. It means you work, amen. But that's not your God, money. But the reality is, there's people here who do everything in the world for get some gold. Think about it, you're going to be walking on it. Streets of gold. You imagine the beauty? I won't read through every verse in verse 21. It talks about there's different precious stones that are in that city. Can I tell you, it's going to be a wonderful, beautiful place. Heaven. It's a wonderful place. It's a place of service. In chapter 22, it says down in verse 1, and his servant shall serve him. The reality is, when we go to heaven, we're going to serve God. It's not going to be get into your mansion, amen, get on a couch, and you sit there, amen, and be lazy. We are going to serve God. What are we going to do with service? I have no idea, but I guarantee you I'm going to like every single second of it, amen. But we're going to serve there. See, it's a place of service. It's a place of holiness. It's a place where the Bible says in verse 3 of chapter 22, no more curse. The Bible says in verse 4 and 5 that there'll be no light there or night there. There'll be no sun. My friends, can I tell you, it'll be a wonderful, wonderful place. So let me close on this to finish this. Go back here to the book of John. And we can go through. There's so much more that you can see from heaven. I think you see a picture what's there. And the reality is, the truth is, it's just a drop compared to what heaven will greatly be like. But look back here to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, the first verse, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then he went through and talked about in verse 2, the mansions he's going to prepare, and then he says he's going to come back, and then we saw the way. But in verse 1 he says this, before he mentions all that, let not your heart be troubled. In chapter 13, what do we read? Chapter 13, he told him this. One of you are going to betray me. One of you, as the disciples, were going to betray me. You read the other Gospels, every single disciple looked at him and said, is it I? You know why? Because every single one of us could betray and would betray the Lord. They didn't know. And ultimately, as he said this, and ultimately we know it was Judas. But he told him that. And what else did he tell him? He said, I am going to die for you. I'm leaving. But they missed the point. The truth of the matter is, if Jesus Christ never died on Calvary's cross and died for our sins, you and I could never go to heaven. Because we could never pay that sin debt. It was His offering, His blood sacrifice. Kids sing that precious blood. Amen. It was His blood sacrifice that we're able to go to heaven. Amen. We took His righteousness. He paid our sin debt. And the reality is, they missed a point. They didn't hear it. What did they hear? He said He's going to leave them. And then He told them in verse 1, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, because I'm coming back." And then He tells them the place that He's prepared for them in heaven. See, the reality is, what we are as Christians today, we know in verse 2, we know one day He's coming back for us. Amen. We talked about that the other day, about the rapture of the church. And what we should do, and like it says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be overwhelmed by the things that are in this world. Amen. The wickedness that you see, the ungodliness. Don't be overwhelmed, because He's coming back. See, the truth is, what we need to do is don't lose sight of heaven. The truth is, one day, we are going to be there. And every day that passes by, it's one day closer, I'm going to be with my Lord. If you allow what it says in chapter 13, you read through it, the things that we hear, the things that we see, your heart will be troubled in this world. You turn on the news. Amen. I like watching Channel 7 news, the local news that's there. But some of this other news that are out there, you turn it off and you feel, oh my. Here, this big over in Canada, the fire that's going through. Over 80-some thousand people are evacuated. There's homes that are being burnt. You imagine? We live in a world, and it's all the destruction. They're talking about diseases. They're telling people when they go down south, watch out for mosquitoes. Now, how are you going to watch out for all the mosquitoes? Now, when I go outside, you ever come by my house and you ever smell something and say, what's that smell? It's probably me with Off, amen. I love Off. I spray it all over me, amen. But I put all that stuff away because I want to keep all the bugs away, amen. But the truth is, they're telling you that a mosquito can carry bacteria, carry viruses, and there's women that are pregnant, they're actually having children, and the children are having problems. Why? Because a little mosquito. There's people all worried. There's baseball teams that are telling them, we do not want to go to Puerto Rico. They were going to go down and play baseball game. They said, we're not going to travel there. And they actually canceled the game because they're afraid of the food that they're going to eat. Can I tell you, we live in a place when you start dwelling on the things of this world, your heart's going to be troubled. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because He's coming back. And the truth is, He paid your sin debt if you believed on Him as your Savior. And there's a place prepared for you. That one day we'll be there. And what we should do until that time that God calls us home is to live your life for Him. Don't let the things of this world, the disappointments, because they'll come, the persecutions, they'll be here, the time of sorrow and the crying and the tears, the pain, the sadness, you'll have them. I have them. Let not your heart be troubled. Because God has prepared a place. And when it's your time, He'll take you home. Until that time, live your life for Him. You ever think about this? You have the answer that people in this world desire. Most people will tell you this. They want to go to heaven. You run into most people will tell you they want to go to heaven. Now there's some people that will say something different. But most people want to go to heaven. You have the answer if you know Christ. You can tell them. You can have the wonderful privilege to lead someone to Christ that they too go to a place called heaven. That's why God didn't take you out of this world. That's why you're still here today. That's why I'm still here today. Because God wants to use your life. Wants to use my life to reach people for Him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity to preach. Lord, I think of heaven and how wonderful it's going to be. And Lord, the truth of the matter is I didn't even come close to mentioning everything of heaven. And Lord, I know that we don't know everything here on this earth. But we know the glimpses that You've showed us through Your Word. Lord, I thank You for these people that are here, their patience. I thank You for their open heart to listen to the truth. And I pray, Lord, that You would use this message this morning to encourage us as Christians to keep our minds dwelling on You. Lord, knowing that one day we'll be with You. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to use our lives to reach others for Your honor and Your glory. I also pray this morning, maybe there'll be one here that doesn't know You as their personal Savior. Lord, You're very clear in Your Word that it's only through You. And I pray this morning they would get it settled. Lord, that they would have a repentant heart, that they would turn to You and, Lord, believe on You as their personal Savior. Lord, You promised to save us. And Lord, I pray today that they would make it known. They would come forward when we have the time of invitation and make it known and how we could have someone shown from the Bible what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name with eyes closed and no one looking.